Welcome to the Deep Dive. If you're in an industry like pharmaceuticals, well, you know, the feeling, the pace of change is just relentless.
Yeah.
And the sheer volume of information you need to track, to understand, it can feel completely overwhelming. How do you possibly keep up?
It's a massive challenge, no doubt. You need to be able to, you know, cut through all that noise, find the really valuable insight.
And quickly.
And critically, yeah. You need to do it quickly and continuously, not just once a year.
Absolutely. And that challenge, specifically within pharmaceutical market research, that's exactly what this deep dive is all about.
Mm-hmm.
We're focusing on the incredible transformation happening right now, really driven by artificial intelligence.
Right. We've pulled together quite a stack of source material for you, different articles, reports. They really lay out this evolving landscape.
What do they cover?
Well, they detail the persistent challenges, you know, the things that have always troubled traditional methods.
Yeah.
But they also show you where AI is already being used effectively, like today. And maybe most importantly, they highlight the huge strategic opportunities opening up for the future because of AI.
Okay, so our mission for you, the listener, is basically to unpack all of this. We want to pull out the most important nuggets of knowledge.
Yeah, distill it down.
Exactly. Help you quickly get informed on the key gaps in current pharma MR approaches, how AI is bridging those gaps right now.
And maybe where the really big bets are for the future.
Precisely. The specific strategic areas where AI is poised to be a total game changer. Think of this as like your shortcut to understanding this complex, fast-moving space.
Sounds good. Where do we start?
Okay, let's dive in by setting the scene first.
Yeah.
What are the core challenges, the real pain points that have honestly plagued traditional pharmaceutical market research for years?
Well, one of the most fundamental issues the sources point to again and again is that persistent trade-off clients always face. Speed versus depth.
Ah, yes. The classic dilemma.
Exactly. You often have to choose. Do you want fast, broad data, maybe from, you know, large surveys? Or do you need slow, deep, really nuanced insights from qualitative research?
And getting both efficiently has been tricky.
Incredibly difficult. Yeah. That's been the assumption.
Right. The trade-off feels almost inherent to the old model.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of connected to that is the issue of static versus continuous insight, right?
Absolutely. Most traditional research, it delivers a snapshot. You get data points from a specific moment in time.
But the market doesn't stand still.
Not at all. Pharmaceutical markets, patient behaviors, competitor strategies, they are moving unbelievably fast. You need intelligence that's much closer to real time, not just historical data points from 6 months ago.
Makes sense. What else?
Another huge problem highlighted in, well, pretty much all the sources is silo data and the knowledge loss that comes with it.
So insights just get stuck somewhere.
Yeah, scattered everywhere. Different systems, different departments, maybe just buried in old reports on someone's hard drive.
Which makes it almost impossible to connect the dots.
It becomes incredibly hard to connect findings across different studies or different therapeutic areas, or even just find out, hey, what did we already know about this specific question?
So valuable past research just vanishes.
Pretty much. Disappears into the ether. Huge waste.
And then there are just the operational headaches, right?
Yeah.
Their workflow inefficiencies.
Oh, yeah. We're talking cumbersome compliance processes, manual project tracking, fragmented pipelines from the initial brief all the way to delivery.
All that adds up.
It adds up to slow turnarounds and significantly higher costs for clients. Just friction everywhere.
And even when you do get the findings, how are they usually delivered?
Often in very static formats, right?
Yeah.
Long reports, dense slide decks. There's a real lack of interactivity.
Meaning you, the client, can't easily just jump in and explore the data yourself.
Exactly. You can't ask follow-up questions of the data set easily or slice it a different way dynamically. It's presented at you.
And let's not forget what happens to qualitative data in that process.
Good point. The rich nuance, the emotion, the subtle cues from interviews.
All the really juicy stuff.
Right. Often that gets manually summarized, maybe flattened into bullet points, and a lot of that valuable, messy depth is just lost in translation.
Okay, so those are the problems, the limitations of the traditional ways.
Yeah.
Pretty clear picture.
Yeah, a lot of friction, a lot of trade-offs, but here's where it gets really interesting.
Because AI isn't just theory anymore.
Exactly. The sources make it clear it's already being used effectively today to start chipping away at many of these exact issues.
That's what really stood out to me from reading these reports. The tangible impact happening now.
Mm.
Let's look at some specifics, like natural language processing,
yeah.
NLP.
Right. NLP, think of it as AI that's great at understanding and processing human language, especially text. lots of text.
And how's that being used in Pharma MR?
Well, the sources show it's really revolutionizing things like literature mining and regulatory analysis.
How so?
We saw reports indicating it can make these assessments up to, say, 30% faster compared to purely manual methods.
30% faster? That's significant.
It really is. It's also streamlining clinical documentation. That can lead to savings of around 30% on data management costs.
Wow.
And even for checking regulatory compliance, NLP helps make responses significantly faster again, around 30% quicker in some documented cases.
And adoption is picking up there.
Yeah, for applications like literature mining, adoption is already described as quite high. It's proven its worth.
Okay, that's huge for operational speed.
Right.
What about predictive analytics? That's another big one.
Definitely. This is essentially using AI and statistical models to forecast future outcomes based on historical data.
Where is that finding traction?
The sources highlight really widespread use in areas like demand forecasting.
Makes sense.
Reports suggest it's leading to about 15% more accurate forecasts, which is pretty significant in such a complex market.
I'll say. And supply chains.
Also being applied in supply chain management, resulting in a tangible, maybe 2-3% cost reduction. Small percentages, but big numbers overall.
Right. And clinical trials. That seems like a key area.
Absolutely. In clinical trial optimization, particularly patient recruitment, predictive analytics can mean maybe a 20% reduction in recruitment costs.
And faster enrollment, too.
And potentially 10-20% faster enrollment, yeah.
Yeah.
Helping get treatments to market quicker.
What's the adoption level there?
Sources say adoption is high for forecasting and supply chain uses. For clinical trials, it's more medium, but growing rapidly.
Okay. Then there's machine learning ML. This is more about algorithms learning from data. Right?
Exactly. Training algorithms to learn patterns and make decisions or predictions without being explicitly programmed for every single task.
And the sources show ML is proving incredibly effective for patient segmentation.
Oh, absolutely. Achieving something like 10-15% better targeting accuracy compared to traditional methods is a common finding we saw.
That's a big improvement in reaching the right people.
Definitely. It's even being explored for treatment optimization, showing potential for maybe 5-10% improvement in patient outcomes by identifying optimal treatment paths based on data.
Really? Wow.
And ML is also aiding biomarker discovery. The idea is this could increase clinical trial success rates by around 10%.
So ML is pretty established in segmentation.
Yes. Patient segmentation is already seeing high adoption with ML. It's a proven application area.
Got it. What about computer vision? AI that can see.
Right. Interpreting images. It's being applied quite a bit to medical imaging and pathology analysis.
What kind of impact?
We saw reports detailing pretty significant time savings here, sometimes over 50% reduction in analysis time for certain tasks.
50%.
Yeah. And even things like 3x faster diagnostic validation in pathology in some cases.
Reduction.
Currently medium, according to the sources, but the impact potential is obviously very high.
And of course, we have to talk about the technology that's generating so much buzz. Generative AI.
The content creator AI.
Right. Creating new text, images, even code.
It's still an emerging frontier in, let's say, direct pharma MR applications specifically, but the potential is huge, mainly around productivity. The sources discuss its use in medical writing, drafting protocol designs, leading to reported gains like 40% faster protocol development.
40% faster? That's not small.
Not at all. It's also being used for generating content like first drafts of reports, maybe offering 30-50% efficiency gains in that content creation piece.
Where's adoption at with Gen AI?
Still described as low to medium in these specific MR contexts, but looking broader across the whole pharma industry, Generative AI's productivity benefits are estimated to unlock something like $610 billion annually in economic value. Massive potential.
Wow. And closely related are large language models, LLMs, right? The engines behind a lot of Gen AI.
Exactly. Beyond just generating content, LLMs are being used for sophisticated scientific knowledge extraction.
Meaning?
Enabling things like 4x faster lead identification in early drug discovery research, according to some sources we looked at.
4 times faster.
Yeah. And they're driving cost savings in medical communication and writing, too, maybe in the 20-30% range.
Adoption similar to Gen AI.
Yeah, like generative AI, adoption is still seen as low to medium right now in market research-specific contexts, but growing fast.
So when you pull back and look at all these examples, you can really see the pattern emerging, can't you?
Absolutely.
Across different technologies, different applications, AI is fundamentally impacting speed and cost. in really significant ways.
We're talking about things like up to 50% faster overall drug discovery processes enabled by various AI tools.
Huge.
Potential for up to 70% reduction in certain clinical trial costs by optimizing recruitment and design.
70%.
It's a big number, yeah. And that 30-50% faster content creation for research deliverables we mentioned, it all adds up.
But it's not just about speed and cost, is it? That seems too simplistic.
No, and that's fascinating here and really crucial for you to consider. AI isn't just making things faster and cheaper, it's also enhancing the actual quality of the insights.
How?
Well, machine learning, for instance, can find subtle, non-obvious patterns in massive data sets that humans might easily miss. Just too much data for us to process effectively. Okay. AI enables near real-time synthesis of information from multiple disparate sources, something very hard to do manually. It can integrate multimodal data, like text and images together.
Right.
And it provides much more granular, more precise patient segmentation than we could typically achieve before. So it's not just faster analysis, it's often smarter analysis too.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've laid out the problems with the old ways.
Mm-hmm, the pain points.
And shown where AI is already delivering real value today. Now let's transition. Where are the strategic gaps? Where is AI poised to make the biggest splash next?
Right. Where are the huge opportunities that maybe aren't fully realized yet? Where AI is still underused or perhaps non-existent in a truly transformative way?
This feels like the key question now. Where can AI unlock entirely new capabilities for pharma MR or solve problems that traditional methods simply couldn't? Not just doing things faster, but doing things differently.
Exactly. And the sources identify several key strategic AI gaps that forward-thinking companies seem to be looking to exploit.
Okay, like what?
First, think about real-time research monitoring platforms.
So like social listening tools, but for pharma.
Kind of, but much more sophisticated and tailored. We have tools like BrandWatch doing social listening in other industries, sure. But the gap is having robust AI-powered platforms designed specifically for the complex, regulated world of pharma.
What would they track?
Tracking not just, say, social media sentiment, but competitor moves, regulatory updates, medical congress discussions, clinical trial news, all live and continuously analyzed by AI.
Wow, okay, that's a big vision. What else?
Another major opportunity highlighted is AI-moderated or AI-supported qualitative research.
Going beyond just summarizing interviews.
Way beyond manual summaries. Using AI to deeply analyze the nuance, the emotional tone, the key themes across dozens or even hundreds of qualitative interviews simultaneously.
Your company's doing this?
Yeah. Companies like Zoomarkex were mentioned as pioneers in this space.
Yeah.
Imagine AI identifying key nonverbal cues from video recordings or synthesizing insights from a global qual study in minutes.
Or even asking follow-up questions.
Yeah. Or potentially even using AI to conduct dynamic follow-up probing during interviews based on what's being said. Huge potential there.
This directly tackles that problem of underleveraged qual data we talked about earlier.
Exactly. And building on that lack of interactivity in reporting,
yeah,
there's huge potential described for conversational analytics portals.
Meaning you can talk to your data.
Essentially, yes. The sources describe systems where you, the client, could literally chat with the data. You'd use natural language queries like, show me the key barriers identified by oncologists in Germany for this drug.
And the AI would just pull it.
And the AI system pulls it instantly from survey results, interview transcripts, tracker data, wherever it lives, letting you explore fluidly instead of digging through static PDFs or waiting for an analyst.
That would change how people interact with research findings entirely.
Completely. Then there are synthesis engines for internal knowledge reuse.
Ah, tackling that siloed data problem head on.
Precisely. Using AI to parse all that scattered previous research output across a company, decks, reports, transcripts.
And do what with it?
Identify reusable themes, key insights, and instantly suggest what we already know about a specific market, patient type, or competitor based on all that past work.
So you stop reinventing the wheel constantly.
Exactly. A huge efficiency and intelligence gain.
Okay, here's one that sounds really cutting edge in the sources. Digital twin and synthetic respondents.
Yeah, this one really pushes the boundaries. It's seen as particularly valuable for challenging research scenarios.
Like rare diseases.
Exactly. Rare diseases or extremely niche patient or physician groups, where finding and recruiting enough participants for traditional research is incredibly difficult, time-consuming, or just prohibitively expensive.
So AI creates fake respondents.
Not exactly fake, but simulated respondents based on available aggregated anonymized data. AI could potentially model these populations.
What's the benefit?
It could potentially reduce cost, overcome ethical hurdles in some sensitive cases, and allow for much more rapid experimentation with different scenarios or messaging concepts than traditional methods allow. You can test things much faster.
Are companies actually trying this?
The sources mentioned firms like Day One Strategy are actively exploring this, even developing things like AI market research moderators and AI therapy experts to interact with these synthetic populations in simulations. Still early days, but very interesting.
Definitely interesting. Okay, looking even further out.
The sources paint a picture of autonomous research agents.
Fully automated research.
That's the long-term vision, seen maybe as a 2-3 year horizon realistically for initial versions. But it represents the idea of fully automated research design, data collection, perhaps interacting with digital twins or other data sources, and insight generation pipelines, all driven by AI.
That sounds like a massive leap.
It would be. Achieving this could offer immense differentiation for the companies that get there first, a real potential game changer.
And anything else on the horizon?
Well, we shouldn't overlook predictive market modeling, leveraging AI more deeply. Moving beyond just basic forecasting to really anticipate complex market shifts, competitive responses, or even regulatory changes with much greater accuracy.
So a lot of potential still untapped. How do companies actually get there? From maybe dabbling in AI now to leveraging these really transformative future possibilities.
Yeah, it's not flipping a switch. It clearly requires a structured, phased approach. The reports outline a potential roadmap.
Okay, what does that look like?
It suggests starting with foundational uses immediately, like in the next year or 6 months.
The low-hanging fruit.
Sort of, focusing on implementing AI where the ROI is clearest and the technology is most mature. So things like using NLP for literature review and regulatory checks, using predictive analytics for core demand forecasting.
Makes sense. What else in that first phase?
Crucially, this phase includes setting up robust AI governance frameworks. You need rules of the road. Companies should also be running pilots for those promising AI-powered qual platforms and exploring continuous monitoring services, test and learn.
Okay, so foundation and pilots first. Then what? Near term.
In the near term, thinking maybe 6-18 months out, companies should look to introduce more advanced capabilities.
Like?
This includes integrating generative AI more deeply into content creation workflows, exploring conversational AI for those more dynamic client interactions with data we talked about.
Right, the chat with your data idea.
Exactly. And building those crucial multimodal data platforms that can integrate diverse data sets, text, image, numbers seamlessly. This phase is also key for co-developing those conversational interfaces, and maybe centralized AI knowledge hubs powered by AI synthesis.
Building the infrastructure and expanding capabilities. And then the transformative phase.
The transformative phase, looking maybe 18, 36 months out and beyond, is where companies really aim to build long-term competitive advantage.
This is the big leap.
This is where you start developing proprietary AI models tailored to your specific needs and data. Launching truly autonomous research capabilities, perhaps for specific, well-defined tasks initially, and creating the sophisticated simulation platforms like synthetic respondent pools.
So moving from using off-the-shelf AI to building unique AI assets.
Essentially, yes. This is about pioneering entirely new ways of doing market research, not just optimizing the old ways.
Of course, jumping into AI at this scale isn't without risks, right?
Absolutely not. The sources highlight several categories. There are technical hurdles, data quality, model bias, integration challenges. There are significant regulatory and privacy considerations, especially in pharma.
Very true.
And there are market risks ensuring clients actually adopt and trust these new methods and differentiating your AI offerings from competitors who are also investing.
So how do you measure success in this journey?
Success, according to the sources, needs to be measured clearly using a mix of metrics. Operational KPIs like faster project turnaround times, financial metrics like increased revenue or margin from new AI-powered services.
And innovation metrics.
And innovation KPIs too, yes.
Right.
Things like the percentage of your service portfolio that is genuinely AI-powered, or maybe even tracking patent applications related to your AI innovations.
And are the big players actually doing this, investing seriously?
Oh, yes. It's clear from the sources that leading players, both on the pharma company side and within the market research industry itself, are already making significant investments and moving along this kind of roadmap.
Which pharma companies?
Major names like Novartis, Pfizer, GSK, AstraZeneca were mentioned as embedding AI not just heavily in R&D, but also across their commercial operations, which includes market research inputs.
And the MR firms themselves?
They're adapting rapidly. You have the giants like IQVIA and Kantar Health integrating AI into their broad offerings. Then more focused firms like Adelphi Research and GRG Health are using AI to differentiate in their specialist areas.
Any specific innovators called out?
Yeah, several specialized innovators like Savanta, ZoomRx, Day One Strategy, and Talking Medicines were highlighted as actively pursuing some of those specific AI innovation strategies we discuss. Things like AI-moderated qual, synthetic respondents, and using specialized LLMs for analyzing conversational data. The landscape is definitely shifting quickly.
Okay, so pulling it all together, what does this all mean for you, the listener, looking at this landscape?
Well, the core message coming through loud and clear from these sources is that AI isn't just, you know, an incremental improvement for pharmaceutical market research. It's not just tweaking the edges.
It's more fundamental than that.
It is fundamentally changing how insights are generated.
Yeah.
It's directly addressing those long-standing limitations we discussed right at the start, like the speed versus depth dilemma, the problem of static, siloed data. AI offers ways around those old constraints.
And companies that get it right stand to gain a lot.
Absolutely. Companies that are strategically integrating AI into their operations and their service offerings, they aren't just optimizing processes slightly. They are clearly positioning themselves to capture market share and gain significant, potentially sustainable competitive advantages in this rapidly evolving space.
So understanding these shifts helps you see not just the technology itself, the abstract advancements,
right,
but the practical, real-world ways these tools are changing how knowledge is gathered, how it's analyzed, and ultimately how it's used in a critical industry like pharmaceuticals.
Mm.
It changes the decisions people make.
Exactly. And thinking about that future trajectory, as these AI agents become increasingly sophisticated,
yeah,
capable of conducting more and more elements of end-to-end research projects, maybe even simulating interactions with respondents convincingly.
It really pushes you to think.
It raises a pretty important, maybe even provocative question for you to consider. What does the future truly hold for the role of human expertise in pharmaceutical market research?
Where do people fit in?
How do we ensure that the critical thinking, the nuance, the empathy, the strategic understanding, all the things that humans bring, how do we ensure those are genuinely enhanced, not just sidelined or replaced by these incredibly powerful new tools as they continue to develop, something to mull over?